Okay, we're just getting a note that Mr. Gossett just got out of the hospital, and he needs to reschedule. So we will be certainly doing that, and I apologize for that. We will get back to you just as soon as we know what Mr. Gossett's availability will be, and he will be on this program hopefully within the next few days. In the meantime, I'm going to San Francisco, California. David. Hi, David. How are you? Welcome to the program.
Hey, John. Always good to be on standby there.
Thank you very much.
Oh, no.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. You may not have won an Academy Award, but, you know, it's okay with us. We'll welcome aboard. Happy New Year. How are you, David?
You know, it's funny. Your screener actually told me that I could say in my future billings that I was followed Lou Gossett. So here
David,
to fill in. Now I can say in my billing that I had to fill in for him.
Well, so, yes, you can. Yes, you can. And you can absolutely say that.
In order to do that, I'll say everybody that goes to Washington should have a ball.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Go on when you get a chance. Go on the internet and take a look at the inaugural Purple Ball. Just Google Purple Ball, and it's really a marvelous thing he's put together. And it's basically the uniting of the races. And so many of the people that are guests that are confirmed to attend are actually white. As a very strong showing of the Hollywood acting community and entertainment community coming out to support Lou Gossett and his campaign. Some of the more expensive tickets are serious money, but then you get a lot of toys with that, and then there'll be some pretty good entertainment. We'll go over that when we have Louis on. So,
okay, great.
Not to worry. You have something on your mind. Tell me what it is.
Yeah, I definitely did, and this is maybe for the poor people in the heartlands of Alabama, Tennessee, Kentucky, along them, both the Tennessee River, the Tom Bigbee Waterway, and lower Mississippi. I'm not sure if you knew it, but on December 22nd, there was a massive spill.
Yes.
It was a kind of a coal slurry spill. And this thing is 100 times bigger than the Exxon Valdez. The Exxon Valdez was massive, being, 10 million gallons. In this case, this is better than a billion gallons. It's got mercury, cadmium, lead, and I'm trying to think what the other one is. And there's actually some fear that there are some radioactive elements in there as well.
Oh, it's now, a carcinogenic cocktail is what it is. I mean, there's question.
It's heavy metals, too. And in terms of things like ADD, you know, attention deficit disorder,
sure.
This is pretty much the cause of heavy metals. In fact, it's even thought that Rome fell because of lead in their water, and that they had been using lead so irresponsibly that the population, especially the population of the intellectuals of Rome, became so lead contaminated that they went insane. But the ugly part of this is that as of last Friday, neither the federal EPA or the state Department of Hazardous Wastes and hazardous cleanups and whatnot, they haven't declared it a disaster area. And this is again, it's a billion gallons. It's probably 3 million dump truck loads of material. And I have a voicemail from their Tennessee's spokesman, and they say, "Oh, the county can handle it."
It's the Tennessee Valley Authority. It's their responsibility. It's happened on their watch, David. And one of the things that is most distressing is that they misrepresented it to the folks in Tennessee. They told them, "Oh, don't worry. It's exactly as you say. The county can handle it. It's just going to modest spill. Don't worry about it. We're really sorry." And it's really quite gargantuan. And it is going to seep into the ground. It's going to affect agriculture, but it's absolutely and totally going to affect drinking water. And telling people you have to boil your river, you know, it's not something that they're going to be able to do.
Yeah, in terms of heavy metals, you can't really boil it out. You know, and this is what the ugly part of it is. There isn't going to be a fish in the Tennessee River. Tennessee River's kind of interesting, too. It's about 50 miles away. The spill happened 50 to 70 miles away from Chattanooga. So it goes through two dams there before it hits the Chattanooga system. And a billion gallons, you would think that that would structurally weaken two dams to have a massive flood come into that. And this, and what even made it worse was it was raining for the for about a week afterward. It just continued to rain. So there were heavy waters which would have churned up the river additionally and kept, normally you would think of heavy metals sinking, but with high waters, it doesn't really give it the opportunity to sink, so it travels further. But then it goes south. The river goes south into Alabama and drops below Huntsville, and then it crosses Alabama and then heads north again toward where Mississippi and Alabama meet at Tennessee right. line. And then it goes north through Kentucky, meets the Ohio River, and then it flows at Paducah, Kentucky. Then it travels down the Ohio River and then down to Louisiana and New Orleans down the Mississippi.
Through the Mississippi, yeah, just past Paducah, you've got the confluence of the Mississippi and the Ohio River right there at Cairo, Illinois.
Yeah, so just to wrap it up, the people down there are not wealthy at all, you know, and
no.
What they need to do, as you probably remember with the Exxon Valdez spill, it took them 20 years and Supreme Court rulings to get any money out of Exxon. You know, and so in the case of the TVA, these people need to do blood tests, you know, in order to get what are called baseline samples, find what their blood levels were, you know, for hazardous wastes and heavy metals now, and then what it's going to be like in 6 months and in 2 years and all sorts of things like that. They may not get money out of the Tennessee Valley Authority for years, decades even, but they do need to get these baseline samples. And what's ugly about this is that if they don't declare it a disaster, then it's not going to be easy to get federal money to come into the clinics and into the county health services along 300 miles of the Tennessee River alone, much less a lot of that water runs straight through Mississippi and the Tom Bigbee. And so that's, you know, all of those counties that are going to be affected by this. So, you know, the poor people of Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, Kentucky, and along the Mississippi River are going to really need the, some interest in this. And if people want to go on to a blog called Dirty Coal TVA, .blogspot, Dirty Coal TVA, and TVA stands for Tennessee Valley Authority. They can get, they're trying to do daily updates down there, and the blood tests is a major part of what they need right now. So if people have got, I've been trying to get some of the single-payer healthcare coalitions involved in this because it's just one of these issues where the county health departments are going to be flooded with, needs to get these blood tests done, and they're going to be, with the bad economy, budget cuts are going to be competing against the great need.
What can someone do? Someone takes a baseline, gets their blood samples right now, has their family get their blood samples, goes back in 6 months, they see a rise in certain areas, goes back in a year, they see another rise indicative of an onset of an illness. Is there preventative medications that are preventative tactics that can be taken to prevent ADD, to prevent cancer, to prevent liver damage? I mean, what are we looking at here other than saying, well, it looks like you got it and you're going to be in for a lovely, lovely journey?
Well, I would think that it would be, first of all, let me say I'm not a doctor, so I don't really have any expertise in this at all, but I do know that there are, my daughter, for example, had elevated lead levels, and so there were various medications, and also I've been talking to a number of gardening shows and various people trying to figure out if there are plants that can be put in along the
right.
riverbeds in order to leach the lead out, and
yeah.
Actually they say mycelium and sunflowers, and there are a number of different plants, but in terms of drinking out of your tap water to be able to trust it, this is the hard part, because, for example, the water departments may be, if you end up with a billion gallons surging into your water system, their whole system would have to to be almost thrown away in order to clean it. I don't know if you know it, but in terms of water filtration, it's basically sand and coal and, you know, a couple of other basic
filtering devices.
And so they would have to essentially scourge that all out of there because it would have been permeated with the lead and mercury and cadmium. And so it's mostly the heavy metals, as I understand it, that are the hazard in this. And so it's letting your water settle is a big part of it, and then don't drink what's at the bottom of the cup, so to speak. You know, if you have a water filter, that's probably a good idea.
What about the schools, though? The schools don't generally filter. They, you know, they use tap water from the cities.
Sure.
The schools in poor jurisdictions in Kentucky and Tennessee and Alabama and Mississippi, they don't sit there and have a water filtration system in their physical plant in the school. So kids go in and hit the water fountain in between classes. What do we do?
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. So it's, and as a matter of fact, I guess if you have any listeners, I don't know if any of your stations are down along, you know, the Tennessee River or along any of the areas there. But
we used to have an Air America station in Memphis, but they. For some reason, they managed to drop the Air America format, as has become endemic in this country. But we're gonna try and work that back.
Well, if I can get your permission to turn this into an audio file, I can put it on. I think there's an indie media down there that's willing to put stuff on, and there's also a thing called
Absolutely.
Radio for All. But to answer your question there are a number of different receipts is the biggest deal. And in terms of the way that Alaska got cheated by the Exxon Valdez, they essentially were able to claim that because people didn't have receipts for their damages, they were not entitled to get damages from Exxon. And so,
now, it might be a little bit different, David, in the sense that those were fishermen whose livelihood of their boat and all of the repairs and how much they would have made if they brought in a crop of halibut and a boatload. It's a little easier for them to point fingers. Here, I see it more of a mirage to be able to say, well, the person is sick and they would not have become sick had it not been. And what is the? How can you calculate that? Unless there's some other receipts that you're perhaps. Talking about that I'm missing.
Well, in the case of, say, somebody that lives, some distance, away from the clinic, they've got to drive 40 miles, whether they don't own a car or they have, the high price of gas and they've got to get back and forth, every 6 months, whatever it takes to get. You have to keep every receipt ever related to anything that you could claim as damages. Now, the lawyers, the high-priced lawyers for Exxon, challenged every receipt that people did have, and if they didn't have a receipt, they automatically threw it away. If you do have a receipt, you may only get 10% of what your receipt is. You may get 90% or 100% of it, but as long as you have a receipt, are you an attorney?
No, I'm not.
Oh, you're not? Okay, I know that.
But I did sleep at a Holiday Inn Express last night, so it's...
Okay. Yeah, I guess it's Lionel that's the attorney, but...
Lionel is the attorney, yeah.
Yeah. In terms of... there's a big scam that the neocons have been pushing in America for the last 20 years called tort reform. And in the past, if you had a... Whether it was a car crash or a hazardous waste spill, your damages could be reflected, but if you didn't have receipts, it still could be dealt with a jury. Tort reform scam has demanded receipts, no matter, and especially for poor people that are unemployed. If you can claim job loss or work, days off of work, that counts as a receipt. But if you are unemployed in a bad economy and, X and Y and Z happen, and you don't end up with receipts, it becomes a great challenge. And so tort reform in a bad economy is a horrible thing. And so keeping every receipt that ever could be claimed to be related to a thing, whether it's you know, the taxi cab ride to the pharmacy to get medical supplies, or buying a water filter, or especially for the larger projects, whether the clinics can put in a claim for additional supplies, right, to be able to do the blood tests, if the water systems, the county water departments, put in receipts. I mean, this is where the TVA is wholly irresponsible. The thing that comes into this, and this is criminality, the early reports was that this was 1.5 million yards, and a yard is 3 feet by 3 feet by 3 feet, big square of material, and that was liquid as well as a mushy, so-called clean coal. And that's, we can get into the scam of clean coal, but this is a massive amount of slush that busted loose from a dam. And their dam was, as I understand it, their dam was engineered for 1.5 million yards. Well, they had overfilled it to well over 5 million yards. So it takes a long time, decades, to overfill something from 1.5 million to closing in on 6 million yards. So the Tennessee Valley Authority is criminally responsible for overfilling something, better than threefold over its rated engineering capacity.
Yeah. So, David, I'm going to have to take a break. I've got a commercial break I've got to take, but stay on the line.
Yeah, sure, appreciate it.
Stay on the line. Give Herb your email address, and we'll have Norman send you a copy of this segment tomorrow.
Oh, great. Yeah, sure, appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, David.
Yeah,
I appreciate it too.
Night.
David in San Francisco, you do the same. Hold on the line. We're taking a break. We're coming back. This is America. When we get back, we'll talk about the relationship between the Tennessee Valley Authority and the coal industry and why this hasn't been declared a national emergency. We'll be right back.
When America says, "You talking to me?" look him in the eye and tell him what you see. Call John now at 866-303-2270. Welcome back to This is America with John Elliott.
Is there such a thing as clean coal? Is the coal industry in the bed of the with the TVA? Who hasn't declared this a national emergency? Is it the fact that there are two Republican senators, Corker and Alexander from Tennessee, and they haven't taken care of their citizens? What do you think? 866-303-2270. Coming back, lots more, including British Member of Parliament Harlan Ullman also. Don't go away. And the news.